Welcome to the Press On Podcast. In this episode, we'll hear from Carl Bundesen on breaking free from burnout.
Have you ever experienced burnout? I'm sure almost all of you have. Our society is all about the Protestant work ethic. It's the idea that your value as a person is tied up with how hard you work. How diligent, how disciplined, how frugal you are as a person. Burnout is birthed through this state of mind, which exacerbates stress in our lives. The World Health Organization identified three signs that are indicative of burnout, including feelings of exhaustion, increased mental distance or separation, and feelings of negativity. Burnout can touch all aspects of our lives, whether it be our work, our studies, or even our faith. But in every aspect, burnout expresses itself with these similar indicators. My burnout started this year, on the first day of my final year at university. I'm studying to become a secondary music teacher, and as a part of my dual degree, was required to write a thesis in the fourth year of my five-year-long degree. Undertaking such a task was an amazing opportunity, enabling me to delve into the minutiae of instrumental recruitment procedures in Queensland secondary schools. I poured all that I had into that project, and receive opportunities to share my findings within the wider academic community. But I also realised that once everything was wrapped up, that I was exhausted. Entering then into this year, I felt like I didn't have too much left in the tank. How could I bring myself to writing more assessments after pouring all that I had into last year? This feeling I'd been having is so aptly encapsulated by the writer of Ecclesiastes. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labours at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 2 to 4. But notice, in the same breath, the writer also points out, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? Ecclesiastes 2, verses 24 to 25. Before I dive into this topic, I first want to address that there will be times where I generalise, and there will be ideas that I discuss that might not work in another specific context. At no stage within this article is it my intention to minimise anyone's mental health. I also want to emphasise that it is okay to feel burnt out, and that it is an important signal from our body that we must take note of. It is not an indicator of lack of faith or personal failure. The purpose for sharing these words with you is to provide a spiritual approach that has been helpful personally and highlight that if you're burned out, you're not alone in this feeling. Life can be difficult, but we are in this together. And God's love will hold us through all things. On fire, then burned out. I want to explore the story of Elijah with you, as he is often one of the most well-noted cases of burnout within the Bible. We join Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel at 1 Kings 18, verse 36. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I've done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. How incredible is that? An amazing victory and a mighty show of God's power. Elijah believed that through the mighty outworking of God upon Mount Carmel against the prophets of Baal, that the victory was won. Elijah had poured himself into all that he had done for his heavenly Father. And now a new obstacle arose. 1 Kings 19 verse 2. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them." Elijah has a great victory and is then threatened by Jezebel. And where do we find Elijah now? 1 Kings 19 verses 4 to 5. He comes to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Elijah is showing clear symptoms of burnout. In verses 4 to 5, we see he is exhausted. He is frustrated. He is mentally distant. He is feeling sorry for himself. Have you ever felt like that? You work so hard thinking you're making progress, only to realize that, like the winds in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 6, you have returned to where you have started. You stop, frustrated, tired. Our spiritual lives can feel a bit like that too. We feel we have spiritually grown, that we have overcome that sin that has been the thorn in our side, and then we commit it again, as Paul writes in Romans 7, verses 18 to 20. "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it." So, what are some ways that we can overcome burnout, both physically, mentally, and spiritually? How can I keep persevering, keep getting up even when I'm knocked down? How can I overcome? A moment of Sabbath. "For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." Hebrews 4, verses 10 to 11. It's not surprising that one of the ways that we can overcome our burnout is to rest. But our modern day view of rest is not quite the same as what we read about in the Bible. Rest is not idleness as we might think of, sitting on the couch aimlessly flicking through the TV channels on a Sunday afternoon. Rest involves mindful action. It involves reflection and contemplation on those things of our lives, on those things of God, on those things of Jesus. Then he said to them, that is the Pharisees, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Mark 2, verses 27 to 28. Jesus was trying to hint to the Pharisees that the legalistic approach that they had taken to the Sabbath of doing no work was missing the mark. Why? because the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. To find God's rest takes conscious action. We need to make time to immerse ourselves in God's word, to connect with God and hear his voice. But where do we find God's voice? Let's return to Elijah. Elijah looked for God, and God wasn't in the roaring wind. He wasn't in the tremendous earthquake. He wasn't in the raging fire. And you know where Elijah found God? In the still, small voice. Isn't that an incredible message for us? In our lives where we work 5, 6, 7 days, where we are constantly bombarded by all the noise of this world, where did Elijah find God? Elijah found God in the quiet as a whisper. We need to create room for God. We need to observe the Sabbath, maybe not in the sense of the day, but we need to make a moment of the Sabbath in each day, where the noise and the clutter is cleared away, to give room to God to speak to us and refresh us, to help prevent us from reaching exhaustion, from reaching that stage where our mind is tired and overtaken by our negative thoughts. For we read in Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Replacing the eye. The next strategy is to remove the eye from all that we do. Remove our reliance on self and instead place our reliance with our Heavenly Father and his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. But how do I do that? Well, let's read Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 2. "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Often our burnout is caused by what we are focusing on all the problems we see in our own lives, or maybe the lives of those around us. Elijah was feeling this way in 1 Kings 19, verse 4. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." When we are focused with our head down on those things that are only in our immediate vicinity, it can be so hard to persevere. But we need to lift our heads. We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep running towards him, even when we don't quite know where the road of life will lead us. God has a plan for us. All we need to do is remain connected to the true vine, as we read in John 15, verses 1 to 17. We need to focus on Jesus, for he is our strength. He is our refuge. He is our rest against exhaustion. For in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, we read, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." How beautiful is that? Why be reliant on ourselves, trying to bear our own heavy loads that oftentimes feel too hard to bear, when we can instead come to Jesus reach out a hand to him and find rest for our souls. Find that yoke, which is easy, and that burden, which is light. Our purpose reframed. When we have brought our focus to Jesus, even in the uncertainty and exhaustion of our burnout, we need to establish where our motivation and direction is coming from. Is our motivation rooted in mammon and those man-made successes and goals that we set for ourselves? Or is it rooted in our Heavenly Father and in giving glory to Him and His Son? I have found that this reassessment of all that I do helps first recenter what my priorities are and what I invest my time into. And second, ensure that in all things I'm giving glory to God. This has been crucial to me when I felt mentally distant in times of burnout. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving, Colossians 3, verses 23 to 24. Often when we set goals for ourselves, which are centered on our own desires, on our own drive for those things that are rooted in mammon, then when circumstances change and we face obstacles, or the outcome is not what we wished for, we can be left feeling burnt out. Whereas if we place our motivations in God alone, in giving God the glory, then we have placed our motivations in something which we know is strong and rewarding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. There is nothing wrong with setting goals, with having ambitions in our work and our studies, but we need to frame everything for the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Being honest with God. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. 2 Kings 20, verse 2 to 3. Hezekiah wept bitterly. What was God's response? I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. All too often, when we are feeling burnt out, we feel lonely, we feel frustrated, we feel exhausted. We feel like God maybe hasn't answered our prayers. Why don't we always feel like we can share this with God? Is it because we are emotional? Is it because we are angry? Do we feel that it's wrong to bring our emotions, our anger to God? And instead we bottle it up? This is something I really struggle with. Sometimes I don't feel that there are always the right people around me to share how I truly feel or what I am facing. But we are told, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. God is here to listen to us, as we read in Psalm 58, verses 8 to 9. You number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. I'm sure that you have all experienced this feeling before. The feeling of relief, of peace when you have shared a conversation with a close friend or family member and disclosed something that has been troubling you, that you have been facing in your life. How much greater is that feeling when we share our struggles, our doubts, with our Heavenly Father? God is for us. He wants to hear from us, no matter how emotive it may be. God wants to share everything. God wants us to share everything with Him. And once we do that, once we have got that off our chest, we have opened up ourselves to the peace which passeth all understanding. God already knows what we are going to say, but it is for our benefit that we talk to Him. For He will give us peace, strength, and all that we need to overcome the burnout in our lives. God's time and provision. And you know what is just amazing? God provides all that we need. All we need on our run to the kingdom. For we read in Hebrews 13, verses 20 to 21, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever." And as Paul writes to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." But one critical thing that we need to realize is that we need to trust in God's timing. Often our feelings of burnout stem from impatience or a sense of urgency that might not align with God's plan for us. We are reminded in Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1. God's timing is perfect, even when it doesn't match our expectations. Trusting that He has a plan for every aspect of our lives can bring immense peace and reduce the pressure we place on ourselves. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. God's plans are designed for our ultimate good. Even when we face challenges or delays, we can trust that He is working everything out for our benefit. This trust allows us to rest in His promises and avoid the burnout that comes from trying to control everything ourselves. Those around us. Another way to combat burnout is by leaning on the community and support system that God has provided. The Bible encourages us to bear one another's burdens and support each other. For lightening each other's burdens relieves exhaustion. Talking with someone helps us to reconnect to our purpose and reduce our mental distance. In Galatians 6 verse 2 we read, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." God did not design us to walk this journey alone. He has placed people in our lives to help, support, and encourage us. Hebrews 10 verses 24 to 25 emphasizes the importance of community. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. By fostering strong relationships within our faith community, we can find the encouragement and support we need to keep going, even when we feel like giving up. Sharing our struggles with others and allowing them to help us can lighten our load and renew our strength. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. We will all likely experience burnout at some point in our lives, whether it be in our work, our study, or even in our spiritual life. So let us make moments of Sabbath in each day, times where the clatter and clutter of life is cleared away to allow us to connect to God. Let us replace our self-reliance with God and Jesus and reframe our purpose and motivation to glorify God in all that we do. And let us realize that God has provided all that we need, maybe not in the time that we wish, but let's look to lean on each other as a family in Christ. I want to leave you with these words, which I think beautifully draw together a lot of the ideas which I have shared. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Psalm 62, verses 5 to 8.
Thanks for joining us on the Press On podcast. You've been listening to Carl Bundesen. For more, you can visit pressonjournal.org.